Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. In a few moments, I will present part three, the final part of George Lincoln Rockwell's In Hoc Signo Vinces, in audio form for the first time, as read by our own Vanessa Neubauer. But first, let us consider the nature-based political creed of National Socialism, which embraces the masculine spirit, one full and necessary half of human nature, and the place it must have in our society. America's abandonment and the West's general abandonment of nature's laws and lessons is illustrated by a recent U.S. Army recruiting film, and in comparison, the relatively healthy vision of their own military class is illustrated by Army recruiting films put out at roughly the same time by Communist China and post-Communist Russia. And not only in the obvious sense that it is men who must sacrifice and go into battle if necessary for the nation, but also in a racial sense. As the most Jewish-influenced society on earth, save for parasitic Israel, America is much further down the suicidal and genocidal road of multiracialism. Watch these brief films, which I'll embed in the text version of this broadcast on nationalvanguard.org, and tell me if you can stop yourself from saying, "God help us," at the end. Now, let's take a look at a very different path our nation could take. This last section of George Lincoln Rockwell's In Hoc Signo Vinces is quite personal. In some ways, it is out of date. In some ways, it is incomplete. But its message of symbolism, of sacrifice and mythos, of natural masculine vigor, of literal reconquest of the earth, is powerful and essential. Though we in the National Alliance know from the works of William Pierce that we must now build a new society from the very beginning and not try to save the doomed one, we still must learn the lessons that Commander Rockwell is trying to teach us. These are the words of George Lincoln Rockwell, read by Vanessa Neubauer. Listen.
I have risen in 2 years to a commanding position in the worldwide fight for the white man, starting as a penniless, unknown, and unaided single individual like millions upon millions of others, simply and solely because I have gratefully and lovingly used the precious names and symbols which have been bathed and soaked in such oceans of blood and tears. The swastika and the name of the leader, Adolf Hitler. Temporary and flashy political successes are always easy. It is always simpler and quicker to put pads in one's jacket than to build the human muscles to fill the coat by months or years of work and sweat. For 50 years now, there has been a steady rise and fall of right-wing or white man's movements built entirely of pads, by endorsing motherhood and virtue and patriotism, etc., and by avoiding brutal statements of the real purpose of such organizations, which must necessarily be the extermination of the communist Zionist enemies of humanity. Great flocks of skittish patriots, conservatives, and even a few tough anti-Semites could be corralled. But these people are not attracted to such a movement because they are so inflamed with revolutionary zeal that they can hardly be restrained from attacking their tormentors in the streets. Rather, they join the Patriots' societies to relieve their guilty consciences by pretending to fight the Jews and their treason and terror by what they call clever underground methods. They relieve themselves of their pent-up frustration at the tyranny of the Jews and Negroes once a week at a rally, private, of course, and then hurry home happily for another week of profits, parties, and TV. Such mighty mouses are horrified when it is suggested that perhaps they should hand out pamphlets in the street or picket some outrageous example of Jewish communist arrogance. And if one exposes not only the Jews for what they are, but also exposes these political loafers who siphon off the support and energy for a real battle, these heroes reply by howling that one is an agent provocateur, working to get them all crucified as a bunch of quote-unquote Nazis, which, except for their disgusting cowardice, they are. It is not the task of the World Anti-Jewish Revolution to attract and organize these contemptible sneaks, but to drive them out of the way and out of business, where they will be unable to milk the movement of the tiny bit of available support for useless projects, as they have been doing for years. Nothing accomplishes that task like the swastika. The political drones, profiteers, prostitutes, and cowards scoot with their tails between their legs from this hooked cross, as the devil does from holy water. On the other hand, the swastika has an irresistible attraction for the kind of daring, bold, devil-may-care, fighting young men we need. In America, most of them are simply quote-unquote nigger haters because of their pure white man's instinct. When they learn the Jews' part in the disgraceful Negro situation, they become National Socialists in minutes. Then it is the work of only months until they also understand the deeper significance, the idealism, and the true aims of the movement. But even more important than these advantages, the blood-soaked swastika has a supernatural effect on Jews. It is, after all, only a few black lines. But it drives the Jews out of their usual sly and calculating frame of mind and makes them hysterical and foolish. To them, it is not just the lines, but the awful threat of ruthless exposure, swift justice, and terrible vengeance which their guilty consciences tell them they richly deserve. It is like a picture of the electric chair to a hunted murderer. A calm, calculating Jew is the most dangerous beast on the face of the earth. By the exercise of his devilish, perverted, but brilliant reason, the Jew has almost mastered all the rest of us. But a hysterical, screaming Jew, out of his mind with hate and fear of punishment for his crimes, is helpless putty in the hands of a calculating National Socialist. We have proved this time and again. When the Jewish councils have spent millions of dollars to spread the word among the Jews to ignore us. But the hordes of guilty little sinners can't do it. When they see that swastika and hear us praising Adolf Hitler and describing the gas chambers for traitors, they become screaming, wild, ghetto Jews who have eternally blown up their victories at the last moment by their insane passions of hate and revenge. The result is the lifeblood of a political movement. Publicity. In spite of the Jewish domination of all the media of public information, the parading of swastikas and National Socialists in public streets cannot be hidden or ignored without giving the game away. They try to suppress the news, to be sure, but then too many people realize their press power and censorship. And when the young movement is able to force publication of its existence on the giant national TV networks, in magazines, the press, etc., it serves as a clarion call to the frustrated millions who are looking for such a movement. It is only thus that we have been able to contact thousands of people all over the world who have never before been in any patriot outfit, but couldn't resist the American Nazi Party and the World Union of National Socialists. The swastika and Hitler, far from being millstones, are actually the answer to the eternal problem of the right wing: money. When you don't have money for paper, meeting halls, etc., as our side never does, you can go into the streets and march and distribute homemade handbills and picket. For nothing. The Jews go wild, attack. And you then have free use of millions of dollars worth of Jewish TV, newspapers, magazines, etc. Of course, you may get bloodied and have to sit in jail a while, recuperating. But this is a small price to pay for the astonishing results. In addition to the free publicity attendant on open operation as a National Socialist, you also find that the very audacity of the thing will attract the young fighting men you need, even though they know nothing and care less about the politics of the business. They admire raw courage and daring. Later, when they have come to know the facts a little better, they will fight for ideals and the white man. But until then, these valuable protectors of your free speech will fight just for fun. Above all, the swastika will save you from the fundamental error of the right wing. That sweet reason will change the world and save us from the Jewish tyrants. Reason is still an infant in human affairs, a precious and rare development found in the mutational brains of an infinitesimal minority of Homo sapiens. And even the few geniuses able to exercise genuine, independent reason are almost entirely incapable of acting in accordance with the dictates of that reason. Which is one of the reasons so many of them end up as failures in a world which does not appreciate them or their reason. It is force, power, strength which rules the world, from the ebb and flow of the tides to the decision of your neighbor to join the Rotary. Only a negligible fringe of oddball humans change their mind as a result of being convinced by a superior argument. The overwhelming masses, including the mass of today's intellectuals, change their minds only in order to conform. In other words, the minds of the vast majority always bow to the strongest opinion, the opinion that brings rewards and avoids punishment. The right wing examines its reasons and arguments and facts and finds them true and good, as they are. They then become outraged when the slobs next door cannot see and appreciate this rightness, and very probably throw them out of the house for preaching hate. But this is only as things are. The Slavs will hold whatever opinion seems to show the most strength and will to power. They are completely, hopelessly female in their approach to reason and always, always prefer strength to rightness. When they say no to our swastika and National Socialism, they are only the eternal female saying no, but meaning if you accept my no, then you are a weakling and have no right to my favors. Let us see if you have the manhood and the strength to make me say yes. They hate us now because we are weak and powerless. All the reason in the world will never make them love us or our ideas in any guise, no matter how we try to sugarcoat them, until we command their respect and admiration for our will, our guts, our force. As stupid as they are, their instincts in smelling force and strength are still pure, and the attempt to sneak National Socialist ideas in the guise of Patriot Leagues and other nice, safe groups very properly repulses them as being the actions of cowards and sneaks. To hell with the sneaky, safer approaches. They get us persecuted every bit as much as the direct, open approach, and they doom us to miserable, sneaking failure every time. If we are to be the last of the white men who conquered the world, if we are finally to be overwhelmed by a pack of rats, let us at least face the death of our race as our ancestors faced their deaths, like men. Let us not crawl down amongst the rats, begging for mercy, or trying to outsneak them and pretend to be rats ourselves. Let us stand on the scaffold of history, hang if we must, like the martyrs of Nuremberg, tall and proud. Is life so sweet? Is comfort so precious and a job in a Jewish counting house so sacred that we are afraid to grasp the mighty hand reaching down to us out of our glorious past by Adolf Hitler? Again, to hell with sneaking and safety. It is part of the Jews to be sneaky and sly. The genius of our people has ever been joyous strength, robust forcefulness, directness, manly courage, and flaming heroism. When the Jews, with their economic terrorism, jails, bullies, and hangmen, scare the white man into laying down his cudgel and goad him into trying to outsneak Jewish tyranny, the Jews have completely emasculated the once strong white man and doomed him to dishonor and defeat. The white man can never win by sneaking. In the dawn of Nordic civilization, lesser races used to cringe in their rude huts and pray, "Lord, save us from the fury of the men of the North." It was that kind of man who built Western civilization. If civilization is now to be saved from the swarms of degenerate Jews, their cannibal accomplices, and their unspeakably depraved liberal friends, it will be that kind of man who saves it. Never sneaks. White man, unite and fight. White man, the same iron blood of your mighty ancestors flows in your veins. The towering figure of Adolf Hitler reaches out a giant hand to lift you up to world-conquering power. You have cringed long enough before pygmies. Now rise. Defy the rats and vermin at your feet. Let them feel the toe and heel of your boot. Stamp them out. You have been sleeping. When you rise and stand up, and the masses once more see what a man of force looks like, they will love you as they now imagine they hate you. With the spark of National Socialism, struck by Adolf Hitler, burning in your breast, you are unconquerable. In hoc signo vinces. In the sign of the swastika, you will conquer. Join hands with the heroes in America, Britain, Iceland, Denmark, and other white countries who have raised the holy swastika banner and defended it with their blood. It has risen from the ashes of Berlin, and never shall it be hauled down again. Stand with us before the altar of Adolf Hitler and the world-conquering white race, and pledge your life as we have to bring the order and justice of Western white civilization once more into the world. Let us teach the traitors and rats and pygmies once more to cringe in terror in their huts and pray, "Lord, save us from the fury of the men of the North." Signed, Lincoln Rockwell, Commander. Signed, Colin Jordan, Deputy Commander. World Union of National Socialists.
You've been listening to part 3, the concluding part of Vanessa Neubauer's reading of George Lincoln Rockwell's In Hoc Signo Vinces. Dr. William Pierce worked to build on Rockwell's legacy and build a new vehicle, a whole new society, to ensure our survival and guide our race's upward course beyond even humanity itself. And this subsequent ongoing work can be studied in our new book, Cosmotheism, Religion of the Future, available for pre-order now at our Cosmotheist bookstore, cosmotheistchurch.org. We thank the New Order online at theneworder.org for keeping Rockwell's works and legacy alive. I'll see you next week, right here at American Dissident Voices.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process. Something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics, the TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this, National Socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth, and compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life just like here could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, antisocial doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into our Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.